And before I get to that, let me say that I grew up in the Church of Christ. Nobody received more calls. Nobody was more popular. Nobody was on more lectureship than Floyd Rose. So let's be clear about that. Made all of the arguments that he has made here tonight for all of the same reasons that he made them here tonight. Until I understood what I said to you earlier, which is simple, and I don't want you to forget this. We revisited those scriptures. We revisited those scriptures that dealt with the question of slavery and racial segregation that we said at one time justified both slavery and segregation, and understood that they must be interpreted in relation to the facts at the time that they were being interpreted. Let me tell you about my experience in the Church of Christ. It wasn't just slavery. It was racial segregation. In Conway, Arkansas, I traveled with Marshall Keeble. I was 11 years old. White sat on one side, black sat on the other. There was a rope down the center aisle. Brother Keeble stood in front of the blacks when it was time to extend the invitation. The white preacher was stood in front of the whites. When the white, or somebody white came down to, quote, obey the gospel, they were taken to the white church and baptized. When a black person came down to accept the gospel, he was taken to the black Baptist church because the white Church of Christ would not allow us to use their pool. The Church of Christ was the last church in this country, in this whole nation, that desegregated its schools and was the last church to apologize and acknowledge that it was wrong, and that just happened in 1999. Why did I say that? Who now would try to justify racial segregation? Who would do it? Nobody. The Bible is still there, and the same scripture that they used to use, Brother Keeble used to use it. When we would ask him, Brother Keeble, I don't understand this. Why is this? He said, well, my son, you know, the Bible says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Somebody had to have it first. The white man had it first, but you got it. And we just kind of laugh, but nobody buys that now. Now, this matter of keeping silent in the church, y'all don't keep silent in the Church of Christ. You need to stop being hypocrites about that. Women talk all the time. When the invitation is extended, you come down the aisle. The preachers, at least in the black church that I'm familiar with, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? They don't stand there and say, they say, I do. Is that being silent? No. Once you get in the church, you can stand up, you walk down the aisle, and maybe you've sinned, and you stand before the church and say, brothers and sisters, I've sinned. That's the prayers of the church. I might be forgiven. Is that being silent? No. If silent means silent, it means silence. How do you decide that you can't do this because that's not being silent, and you can do that? I don't understand that. Now, you can stand up anytime and say how bad you've been to God, but you can't stand up and say how good God's been to you. You don't have to applaud. You know that's the truth. I've been there. Now you have to ask yourself, just think about that. So when you're arguing about being silent, you're stuck being a hypocrite about it. We're not silent. You're not silent. And just admit that. You just not. Now let me tell you something else I find interesting. Now, it's not just about a preacher. He doesn't believe the woman ought to be up there making an announcement. Now, you tell me how making an announcement that you've been asked to make by the elders or the preacher, whoever, how is making an announcement you something authority over anybody? No, stay on this bus till I come to a halt. Stay on this bus. Listen, the other thing is, she doesn't believe that you ought to have the right. I forget about that poll. Have the right to show people to their seats. She doesn't believe that you ought to have the right to pray a public prayer. That you ought to be able to read a scripture. not just about preaching. And he doesn't believe he ought to have a right to stand up and ask a question. And I don't understand women. At some point, you ought to say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. You ought to say, there's something wrong. I'll tell you what happened with the last discussion we had. He'll tell you. A woman, they met her. She happened to be white and went from a rich family. Then so she came to the discussion. And when we got to the question and answer period, she said, you mean to tell me I can't ask a question in here? I said, shh. No, you can't say anything in here. She got up and came up to where I was at the end of it and told her husband, said, honey, come here. She said, I've been in the Church of Christ 37 years, but this is it for me. I don't want to be a part of anything where I can't ask a question. Apply a little common sense to this thing. Now, I want to go back to a couple of things. You notice that he danced around the whole question of slavery. But look at this. The Bible says, servants obey your masters. These were scriptures that were used to justify slavery. They're still in the Bible. They're still there. But there is a reason for them being there at that time when Onesimus ran off to freedom. Paul told him to go back. Told his master to receive him as a brother. But he told him to go back. You think Paul would tell anybody who gets out from under that kind of bondage today to go back to it? No. Now let me do, how much time I got? I got a parable I want to share with you. You tell me about, well, he didn't quote in the scripture. Jesus didn't quote much himself. So I'm sorry about that. I'm in good company. I just want to do a little common sense. There was a church once that was 80% black, 20% white. Please, that all I'm asking you to do is keep an open mind through this. 20% of the church was white, 80% of the church was black. All of the positions of authority were held by whites. The preacher was white, the elders were white, the song leader was white, the ushers were white, the deacons were white, the announcer was white, the people who administered the Lord's Supper were white. 80% of the money came from the blacks, but they couldn't even count it or count for it because they were not white. Not because they weren't intelligent, but they were not white. The blacks could pass the communion and collection trays to their right and to their left, but they couldn't come up here and give it to the first person. Not because they couldn't walk, but because they were black. Now, the exception was, if there was a dead body in the church, then the blacks could get up, they could talk, they could even sing a solo and invite the rest of the church to come along. They could teach other blacks in a Bible class reserved for blacks. But if a white man walked in the door, they had to shut up. Not because he knew more. He could have been the most ignorant person in there. But he could come in there and talk. Why? Because he was white. If you don't see this, now, look around you. 80% of any church, almost, and I'm more familiar with the black church, 80% of the people are women. And they probably give 90% of the money. They can't count it, and they can't account for it. They can't even say what you ought to do with it. They have no say whatsoever. And it's not just, if you're saying they're doing that at your church, God bless you, I'm happy for you. But the ones I'm familiar with, they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't be trustees. They can't. And then, before I don't want to forget this, because he keeps pushing this thing. This ain't about homosexuality. We ain't discussing that. So don't try to drag me into something that we ain't talking about. I'm not going that way. I'd be glad to talk about that at another time, but don't try to act like I'm promoting homosexuality. You never heard me say that. So let me, you say what you're going to say, and I'll say what I'm going to say. Now, let me be clear about this. Blacks in that church, where they couldn't talk, they could only at a funeral. What does that mean? That means that somehow it appears that you have more respect for a dead body than you do a living Christ. You can do it if there's a dead body there, but you can't do it for him. Now, I'm not making any of this up. You know it's the truth. And not only that, I was in Indiana. I can't forget this. I forget the city for the moment. Indiana in a revival. And the women fixed the food. And then a woman came out of the kitchen and said, I'm looking for one of the brothers to turn fast. I would do it, but I'm a woman. And the woman standing next to me who was visiting squeezed my hand and just kind of jumped. And she said, you mean to tell me that they can buy this food, cook it, serve it, and even tell the men where to sit down and eat and can't give thanks for it? Go out to any restaurant. If y'all leave here right now, I'm willing to, well, you might jump if I say bet, but anyway, I'm willing to give you every dime I got in my pocket. When y'all go out here, if you leave here and go to eat somewhere, you're not going to ask a woman to turn back. So this stuff carries over from the church to the home and everywhere else. Now let me say something else about that. He mentioned about, well, you know, the man is ahead of the wife. That's true, the wife, he's ahead of my wife. He's ahead of his wife. I'm ahead of my wife. God ain't never told him to be over my wife. So let's don't play games with this. There is a difference in you being over all women and being over your own wife. So don't do it. On the problem about sign is not permitted to them to speak, for they are commanded to be under obedience. Oh, what law? What, in the New Testament? And you say that we're not under that law, don't you? Well, don't answer, but I know I was there. You say that. So don't bring that over here. Yeah, that's what I said, Pat. You get that? It hadn't been the Old Testament law. And by the way, the New Testament wasn't even put together as we know it for 100 years after Jesus and the rest of them left here. How much more time? I want to close with one thing. 4 minutes? Let me tell you a story. Two stories. I was in Fresno, California. You ought to listen to this. You ought to listen to this now. And one, I was living with one of the elders, and when it was over, he said to me, Brother Rose, how are you? It was 1998. I just want to share something with you. It's been bothering me. I said, yes, sir. This white elder, wonderful group of people out there I met with. And he said, that was a member of our church. Man, he had two children. He had a daughter that was 9 and a son that was 8. And the deacon walked up to the 8-year-old boy, and they were sitting on the front seat between their father, on either side of their father. And he said, when the deacon said to the son, said, look, would you like to help us with the attendance card and the collection and serve the Lord's Supper? He said, yes, sir. So he jumped off the seat and went with the deacon. Joy, the girl, he was Jenny. Joy said to her daddy, why I can't do that? Jenny always gets to do that. Why I can't do that? And he said, well, you know, you just can't. She said, but why? Well, little girls just don't do that. She said, why? I know how to walk. I know how to pass out the attendance card. Why? He said, listen, now, I told you that little girls just don't do that. But why? He had neither a logical or scriptural reason for stopping her from passing out the attendance card, the collection basket, and the Lord's Supper. So what happened? They went home. Sit down to eat. Once again, he asked Jimmy, the little boy, to say the prayer. She said, Daddy, there you go again. Why, I can't do it. I know how to pray. Why, I can't do it. And he said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let me tell you what she did. She grew up. And when she was able to chart her own course, to make her own decisions in life, she left the Church of Christ and went somewhere where she could do that. And they are doing that all over this country. Times are changing. I'm going to talk about my sister and some other things when I get back. And I'm telling you, any church in the future that discriminates against women based on gender. We have no more moral or ethical credibility than a pro-slavery church will have today. The day is coming, and you might as well get prepared for it. God bless you. I love you.